What's your story? Hey, everybody, it's Richard Arnold Beatty with Crawford Media in Denver and the host of Counseling Culture. From beginnings, middles, and a continuing adventure called life, we all have a story to tell. What's your story? One of the best opportunities is to tell your story to someone who cares enough to listen. It is that kind of listening that is the first step to good and wise counsel. This is a kind of renewable resource in learning how to write and speak your story. We at Counseling Culture want to read and listen to your story. Send us an email to counseledculture@gmail.com. That's counseledculture@gmail.com. And now for today's episode.
Chris Fabry is the author of more than 80 books. You might know him best because he's the behind-the-scenes writer of such big movies like War Room and Overcomer. He's the host of the Chris Fabry Live Show on Moody Radio. He's an inductee of the Christie Award Hall of Fame, as well as the W. Page Pitt School of Journalism at Marshall University. He and his wife, Andrea, are the parents of 9 kids, and they live in Tucson, Arizona. Today, we're going to be talking to Chris about the power of story. And I love this topic of story because I talk a lot about this, and I've written a lot about story, especially in my first book, Shattered. So I'm excited to talk about story with both of you guys today and how it's shaped your own life, because the stories we read, as well as the stories we tell ourselves, are very impactful and can impact our entire life trajectory.
Story is the first part of how you figure out where your unique skills are, where your mind has taken, where you, what are you called to do as well. And story then gets to be narrative in that way, and how you narrate that story. You find out the people you collaborate in, your family, your friends, all of the people that that influence you in that way. So that collaboration is so important in life. And then you look at it, Rita, and we look at the cultivation of ideas. There's so many ideas out there, and people are just so not willing to share their ideas with each other. But if we listen and we find out what their story is, then that is really the key to relationships, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I wrote this in Shattered. I said, the closing of one chapter of a story gives way to the birth of another, offering hope and promise. And I think that's why story can be so powerful. I mean, we all want to kind of hit the delete buttons on the negative parts of our stories, but I believe those are the places where we really learn and grow spiritually in any venue. So I think that if we look at even the bad parts of our story, or the difficult parts, I should say, as a springboard to hope and promise, we can be looking through a whole new lens instead of constantly berating ourselves for the things maybe that we've done that we think we should delete out of our story. I mean, I like this topic because I teach people about story, and I think sometimes some of the stories that we tell ourselves can really be negative. And we build a whole story around these negative beliefs that we have. So it can be bad, but story can be beautiful and offer hope and promise. And that's what you've done in some of these works that, you know, your big ones like War Room and Overcomer. How did you become a storyteller?
It goes back to my grandmother's kitchen table. They didn't have a telephone. They had a pump house. You know, they did their laundry and stored all their things. And so my mom and I would drive down. Usually it was us two to see my grandmother, Mamaw, and her two brothers, two of her brothers lived with my grandmother. And Uncle Howard, my middle name is Howard. He would, everybody called him Pooch. He would sit at the kitchen table with his elbows on his knees, you know, kind of hunched over, smoking a Pall Mall or a Marlboro or whatever
oh,
it was.
Brother.
The smoke was heavy in that kitchen. And I would say, Uncle Pooch, tell me the story about when you went hunting during the Depression. Tell me that story. And I'd heard that story 100 times at least. And every time it was new because I knew what the punchline was. It's something that really happened to him, but it got embellished over the years. And the longer I sat and listened to him tell stories from, going hunting without a gun, you know, they're going hunting for possum or raccoon without a gun with just a gunny sack. And they would eat the meat and sell the pelts. You know, that's how they got money. In my heart, it's like, wow, I want to do this. I want to do this for somebody else because my heart has been opened up, you know, by the stories. I didn't understand that then, but that's where it all started for me, Rita.
Wow. I think story can be powerful. I mean, for me, because somewhere between the lines we're reading or the film we're watching, we kind of see the script of our own sad tales, right? We see ourselves, we see our losses, and I'm big with the loss piece. So story can also bring perspective. What about you guys? What do you think? Why is story so important?
As far as our life stories, we're at beginnings and middles. We aren't at the ends, but that's what story is. You know, they have beginnings and middles, and so when you look at life, and you can tell the story of others who have beginnings and middles and ends mm-hmm. of their lives. You know, when you're talking about your kitchen table and talking about people telling you these stories from a kitchen table, Chris. So that's what family life is all about. And we do have a bunch of beginnings, middles, and ends of all people's different stories. And then they intertwine somewhere along that line too, don't they?
That's true. And I think a really good story, and I've tried to do this with grow in this in my writing, is the main word that I put over storytelling is participation. And what I mean by that is I don't want the listener, if I'm doing a radio program or if I'm speaking in front of an audience or if I'm putting words on the page, I don't want the listener or the reader to just be a passive absorber of the information. I want to tell the story or write the story in such a way that they feel that they are a part of the story. And that's one of the writers that I've read over the last few years have said that's the difference between a story that really hits in a life or is a bestseller is a story that does that, that elicits a response from the readers so that they feel like I'm not just reading. For example, To Kill a Mockingbird is one of my favorite stories that I read when I was in junior high school. And my teacher said, I think you're ready for this. You know, she went down the list. She said, I think you're ready for this. And that summer was my To Kill a Mockingbird summer when I read that story. And it wasn't that I was reading about Scout and Jem and Dill Baker Harris, you know, and Boo Radley and Tom Robinson. I was a part of that. I was in the treehouse overlooking when Dill came in. I was creeping up on the Radley porch on the back side of it, looking in the window with Jim and scared with it. I'm a part of that. And so when I tell a story, when I read a story, I'm looking for that. How do I plant questions in the reader and in the listener that will make them ask the question that I'm asking of themselves? Because that's, Rita, you're exactly right. The best stories are the stories that read us rather than us reading them.
Yeah, we see ourselves in these movies or the lines of the book or wherever we're finding ourselves. And for me, I'm asking, how will this story impact me? Do I see myself as a character in this story? How am I engaging with the story? I mean, the Book of Job is a story.
Yes.
And it's a story about suffering. And so what do I take away from this? Like you said, am I going to just read this to check a box off that I've read it? Or am I going to really engage and connect to the heart of God through this story? And is it going to produce fruit in my life, or is it just going to fall on shallow ground?
I'm glad you brought up Job, because I was thinking of the same thing. The story of Job, you know, when I read that, it's so easy to look at Job's friends and just tisk, tisk, you know, and say, what losers they are, or look at Job and all the questions that he has of God and the struggle that, you know, he is involved in. But as I look at that story, I see myself in all of those, not as God, but in Job as a recipient of suffering and a recipient of betrayal, as the friend who comes alongside and tries to do something really good and starts out well by listening and then opens his mouth, you know?
Yeah, and is prideful or judging. Yes, yeah. We can see ourselves sort of in all those roles. But I think unless we're curious, we're not going to get any answers. You know, we've got to be curious about those things. You know, how do I see myself? Am I just Job, or am I like the other two as well? Are there parts of me in these characters? And what does God want me to see about that? And then what does God want me to do about it?
Yes. And that's part of the, as a writer, that's part of the listening process that I go through with each of the characters. One of the mistakes that fiction writers make is that they make the evil person, you know, the villain, the Snidely Whiplash, you know, they make the villain not human. And Jerry Jenkins, who I've written with through the years, has always said, your antagonist, the force that you're up against, has to believe that they're doing a really good thing. That they are actually, there's a reason for their evil actions in their own heart that makes them think, hey, I'm doing it. You know, this makes a whole lot of sense, because you want that authentic force against you in order for you to overcome it. That's one of the things that I see that God has put in my life through the years. It's like, there's been an awful lot of hurdles. I want the easiest life that I can get. And there are an awful lot of hurdles with 9 kids and, you know, wow, all the things that we've been through in the last few years. But those hurdles aren't there to stop you. They're there as stepping stones. They're there to make you stronger so that you do persevere. And as you persevere, you move toward whatever the goal is in your life.
Yeah, I was talking to Richard before you got on. And in my first book, Shattered, I wrote that the closing of one chapter of a story gives way to the birth of another, offering hope and promise. So I think we oftentimes want to delete the bad parts of that story, like you say, the struggles and, you know, how we were challenged and the agony that we went through. But the point is if we're faithful to these companions of sorrow and suffering that oftentimes God has us walking with, we will get to this place of rebirth, the hope and the promise, because out of that pain, I mean, maybe the story didn't have the ending I wanted, but out of that pain, there was growth in me. Me and my relationship with God took on a whole different level.
Well, that was Rita Schulte, and my name is Richard Beatty. We had Chris Fabry, author and radio host, just an all-out communicator. You know, just like with our physical health, we all have mental health that needs to be nourished and cared for. Some of us have mental illnesses, but those are illnesses, just like heart conditions or diabetes. As with these other diseases, they are a result of a fallen world and often need lifelong management. In either case, the church is made for community and should be a safe place to struggle. At Colorado Community Church, their mission is to walk with you in your journey through the challenges and victories, and help you embrace your innate value and identity in Christ. To find out more, go to coloradocommunity.org. That's coloradocommunity.org.